Today's daf is Vachim Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. And we are 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Te Zayin Omid Beis, Kotchim Kalim Necholim, Bechol Machane Yisrael. Today's daf is being learned as a Schutz Rufu Shalema, Fachavim Miriam Basmalka Freda, and Shloime Ben Chayale. So the Gemara is continuing to discuss the very long Mishnah in the beginning of Perek Paras Chatos. Specifically, the Mishnah said that when the Yidden were in the Midbar, Kotshe Kadoshin was Nechol Lefnimina Kloin, had to be eaten within the curtains, within the area that would later be known as the Yomoyed, the Azara. And Kotshim Kalim was Nechol Bechol Machane Yisrael, could be eaten anywhere in Machane Yisrael, says the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna said, what does it mean when the Mishnah says Kachim Kalim were Necholim b'chol Machane Yisrael? It means b'chol Mekomos Yisrael. It doesn't mean within Machane Yisrael proper, but it means wherever the Jews were. So if a Yid was there, you were allowed to eat Kachim Kalim. Now the Shita Mekubet says, takes out the next four words, Avol Machane Loi Haver. And we jump to Isvei Rav Nachman Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman asked Rav Huna, it sounds like Rav Huna, you're suggesting that there was no concept of Machne Yisrael when the Yidden were in the Midbar. As a result, it doesn't make sense that Kachim Kalim should be Mesuyim to a place that doesn't exist. Therefore, when the Mishnah said Machne Yisrael, Rav Huna, you understand it means not Machne Yisrael literally, but rather what it means is Bechol Mekoymos Yisrael. But Rav Nachman told Rav Huna, is that true? Umachnois b'midbar lehavoy, where there are no machanois in the Midbar. V'atanya b'nun t'debraisa, k'shem shemachne b'midbar kach machne b'Yerushalayim. Just like there was a machane, and there were these concepts in the Midbar, so too it was the same way in Yerushalayim. And the Braisa goes on to delineate where the machnas were in Yerushalayim. Mi Yerushalayim laharabayis machne Yisrael. From the border of Yerushalayim until the Harabayis was known as Machne Yisrael. Mi Harabayis l'shar Niknar. From Harabayis to Shar Niknar, that was the eastern gate into the Azara, Machne Leviyah. That was Machne Leviyah. And Mikan ve'elach, anything past Shar Niknar was Machne Shechina. Ve'hein hein kloim shebe midbar. Rashi says that the Mikan ve'elach part, meaning beyond Shar Niknar, that's Machne Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash, is the equivalent thereof to the Lifnim and Akloim that was in the Midbar. The bottom line is, you see clearly from this Braisa what everybody knows, and that is there were three machanois in Yerushalayim, there were three machanois in the Midbar, the three corresponded to the three, but the point is there was a heftza of Machane Yisrael in the Midbar. If there was such a place, why would Rav Huna say that when the Mishnah says Kachim Kalim Necholim Bechol Machane Yisrael, what it means is Bechol Mekoymos Yisrael? Das says Bishloim, if there's no place called Machane Yisrael, so you have to say Machane Yisrael is like a borrowed term. It's a little bit of a misnomer. But Amar Rav Huna and Amira, whose job it is to be mefarish the Mishnah, you should know it doesn't mean literally Machne Yisrael. But if there was a Machne Yisrael in the Midbar, then for sure Machne Yisrael means Machne Yisrael. So what does Rav Huna mean when he said Machne Yisrael means Bechol Mekoymos Yisrael? Ella Ema, the Gemara says, you have to say Rav Huna meant something else. What he meant was Bechol Mekoym Machane Yisrael. What he meant to say was that every single place that was a quote-unquote Machne Yisrael, it was okay to eat Kachim Kalim. Meaning, every place within Machne Yisrael. But the Gemara says, Pshita, Ma'udetema, I'll tell you why it's not so pashut. Because I would have thought, Ifsul B'yoytze, that maybe there's an opportunity for there to be a Psul Yoytze Kamash Malona. Where would the Psul Yoytze be? So Rashi says that we know in the Yidu, in the Midbar, they were always traveling. All the Masois, the Yisu Vayachanu, they're always on the move. And once they had the Mishkan, when they were traveling, it meant taking the Mishkan down and putting it back up and again dismantling it and again erecting it. That's how the Mishkan traveled. As a result, there could have been a Havamina that in the event Machne Yisrael had to move, it had to shift places. Ulai, the new Machne Yisrael, is not considered a Hemshech of the original Machne Yisrael. And as a result, if I had Kachim Kalin and I wanted Eden to Machne Yisrael. And all of a sudden, the Mishkan's moving, and as a result, Machne Yisrael's moving. The whole camps are on the go. Could be that new Machne Yisrael is not considered anymore the same Machne Yisrael. And in the interim, it would mean that the Kachem Kaum left Machne Yisrael to be possible Yotze. As long as I'm in a place that's Machne Yisrael, even if it's a different quote-unquote Machne Yisrael, it doesn't matter. But the Gemara says, that Havamina, that Mao the Tema is so compelling, what's Takim Shad? I don't know. To me, it sounds like if everything shifted, everything moved, so there's this interim period where you don't have proper machnas. As a result, you would think the Kachem Kalam should be Nifsal Yotze, and therefore you shouldn't be able to do it when you get to the new place. So the Gemara says, on Makra, it's really based on a Pasuk. It says, V'nasa Oyomayed, and we learn from here, Aval Bisha Nasa Oyomayed, who even when the Mishkan is traveling, the Mishkan is still considered an Oyomayed, which means that even during the traveling, the Shem Machnas were maintained, and as a result, it wouldn't be Nifsal B'yayitz. Just explain this a little bit better, and Be'ez Hashem, when we get to the raid, we'll go through it even a little bit better. The whole concept of Machnas, when the Yidden were in the Midbar, was all related to the Mishkan. Machnas Shechina was the Mishkan, L'finim and Akloim. Machnas Leviya was the area immediately surrounding the Mishkan, which is where the Levium were encamped. And Machne Yisrael was the area surrounding that. That's where the Yidden were. There's no Machne Levia, there's no Machne Yisrael, if there's no Machne Shechina, meaning if there's no Oyel Moed, if there's no Mishkan. From the fact that the Pasuk says, V'nasa Oyel Moed, Afal Pi Shenasa Oyel Moed Hu, that means that the Mishkan is a Mishkan even when it's on the move, even though it's dismantled. But it's still a Mishkan, which means that the Levium that are traveling around the Mishkan are in the area of Machne Leviya, because the Taich of Machne Leviya is that area that surrounds the Yomayit, and it means that the Yidden that are surrounding them are still a Machne Yisrael. The bottom line is, when Rav Huna said B'chom Kam Yis Yisrael, he didn't mean that there's no such thing as Machne Yisrael. What he meant was B'chom Mikom Yis B'machne Yisrael. So he's not coming to exclude the idea of Machne Yisrael, but Fakir, he's actually coming to be more inclusive. What he's coming to say is that Kachem Kalam is Nacholim B'machne Yisrael. It's B'chom L'koyim is Machne Yisrael. The rabbis, even if it was V'nasa, you would have thought maybe there should be a P'sol Yotze, but being that we know Afal Pishan Nasa Ayol Mayeru, that means the three Machnes maintain their Shem, even when they're on the move, as a result, there wouldn't be any psul yoitze. Zokti martanya abrais, related to what we're talking about. Rabshim Bayichoy said, Oida cheres hoisa. We know there were three machines when the Yidden were in Yerushalayim. We just mentioned the Braisa that explained what the three Machnas were. Again, Machne Yisrael was from the outskirts of Yerushalayim all the way to the Harabayis. Machne Leviya was from the Harabayis to Shar Nikner, and anything within Shar Nikner was considered Machne Shechina. Said Reb Shimon Bayichai, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. There was really a fourth Machna, the Chil. Some have the Gersa Ezras Nashim, some have the Gersa V'Ezras Nashim. So there was an area in the Beis HaMikdash known as the Ezras Noshim, not to be confused with the Azara. Additionally, there was an area called the Chil, and that area of the Chil slash Ezras Noshim, they were right next to each other, was a separate machana. It had certain dinim. So for example, someone that's not allowed to be in the Azara, but's allowed to be on the Harabayis, could be, would not be allowed to be in the area known as the Chil Ezras Noshim. V'loyhoyu onshin alav, stating that person who's not allowed to be there, if he was there, he would never be punished for it. So for example, if a Tommy would enter the Azara, so that's the parish of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav, he could be Chayv Karas for doing something like that. He could have to bring a Karban Oil of a Yoyred. This area of Chil Ezras Noshim has a certain level of Kedusha, almost like the Azara, but at the same time, which makes it sound like it's Shem Machna was only Midrabanan. It wasn't even a Dereis and Tigge Shem Machna. All it was Midrabanan. Next part of Reb Shem Vaicha is Braiso. He said, when the Yidden were in Shiloh for those 369 years, all they had was two Machnas. So we know Machna Shechina, Machna Leviya, Machna Yisrael. We know it was in the Midbar. Just brought the Braisa. We know it was in Yerushalayim. We just brought the Braisa. When the Yidden were in Shiloh, it was unique. All they had was two machnas. So the Gemara says, "Hai minayu loy hava." Which one of the three was not there? Says the Gemara, "Amar Rava." So Rava said, "Mestaber the machna leviya hava." It's mestaber that machna leviya was there. Now, machna shechina for sure was there. Because what's the definition of machna shechina? Da'il moyed Mishkan Shiloh. obviously has an oyamoy. So there's no question that there's a machna shechina. So really, if we're trying to figure out which one was not there, we've narrowed it down to, was there no machna leviyah? Was there no proverbial harabayas, right? If you've ever been to Shiloh, is there a harabayas there? I'm not sure. So there's no proverbial harabayas, or maybe there was no machni Yisrael. The idea of machni Yisrael is Yerushalayim, it's Sofiv Lamishkan. So it could be that inyan you didn't have when you were in Shiloh. That's what the Gemara is trying to figure out. So Rabbi said it's mistabe that there was a machni Leviyah. Because if you can tell me there was no machni Leviyah, Nimtzu, what would emerge is that Zovin, Utmei Mason, Mishtauchin Chutzla Machachas. That a Zov who's Tomei and a Tomei Mace, that's Tomei, who both have to be sent out of a machna, would both be sent out of the same machna. And that can't be, because Vatayra Amr, the Torah says, V'lo yitamu es machanehem, and we learn from there, tein machana lozeh u'machana lozeh. So let's just do a tiny little bit of an introduction to this. The Pasuk says, and this Pasuk is in Parshas Nasai, it's Bamidbar Perikei Pasuk Gim. The Pasuk over there is talking about the laws of Tumah. The idea that someone that's Tameh may not be able to go into a place where there's so much Kedusha. And the Pasuk says as follows. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe leimer, Tzavos b'nei Yisrael, v'yishalchu min ha-machaneh kol tzoruah v'chol zav v'chol Tameh l'nofesh. That any tzoruah, a mitzayra, any zav, or any person that came in contact with a mace has to be sent out of the machna. Next pasuk, mizocher ad nikeva tishalechu. It doesn't matter male or female. El michutz la machna tishalchu. They have to be sent out of their machna. V'lo yitamu es machaneim asher anin shoichem v'soicham. And make sure they do that, because otherwise they're going to defile, they're going to make impure the machna that they're residing within. Chazal were bothered with a little bit of ha'ara. Why did the Torah have to say, v'yishalchum in ha'machina kol tzorua, v'chol zav, v'chol tamei l'nafesh? Just say, any person that's tamei. You want to know who's tamei? Learn, say the Tyrus, or just be Mavasedra, some of the harder parashis in the Torah, and you're going to know who's a tamei. The Torah went out of its way to delineate who's tamei. But it's even more than that. Torah mentioned everyone that's tamei. Torah just mentioned three categories of tamei. Kol tzorua, v'chol zav, v'chol tamei l'nafesh. So Chazal learned from here that the tzoruah and the zav and the tamei l'nafesh, who all are included in this idea of v'shalchu min ha'machna, v'lo yitamu es machaneim, they all have to be sent out of different machnas. And that's why the Torah mentioned that there's a concept of v'shalchu min ha'machna, which is a essa, and v'lo yitamu es machaneim, which is a loisasa, regarding the tzoruah, who has his machna he has to be sent out of, and the zav, who has his machna he has to be sent out of, and the tamei l'nafesh, who has his machna they have to be sent out of. Okay, so what are the chiluk machnas as it relates to these three tmeim? So let's go backwards. The tamei l'nafesh, counterintuitively, even though he's the most tamei, he needs the paraduma in order for him to become tar, he only was sent out of machne shechina. He wasn't allowed to enter the azara. That's the sugis of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. But he was allowed to be on the harabayas, and certainly he was allowed to be in machne Yisrael. The zav, even though his tumah relative to tamei nefesh, you would think, is a lesser tumah, but as it relates to shiluach machnas, he had to be sent out even further. He wasn't even allowed to be in machna leviyah. And the tzoruah, who's the mitzayra, was badat yeshev. We know he had to be sent even out of Yerushalayim. And the reason the Torah mentioned called tzoruah v'chol zav v'chol tamei l'nafesh separate is so that you would understand that the v'lo yitamus machaneim is three machnas. That's how we know this concept of the shiluach machnas as it relates to the tzoruah, the zav, and the tamei l'nafesh. With that hakdama, says Rabba, it's mistaber that there had to be a machna leviyah when the Yidden were in Shiloh. Because if there was no machna leviyah when the Yidden were in Shiloh, so that would mean that the Tomei Meis, who has a din of Olayitamus Machaneim, would have to be sent out of just the Mishkan. Just go outside of the Kloyim. As long as you're not in the Mishkan, you're going to be okay. The Zav, who also has a din of Olayitamus Machaneim, would also have to be sent out of just the Mishkan. What do you mean? The Zav has to be sent out of Machna Leviyah too, but there is no Machna Leviyah. Which means that they're both being sent out of the same Machna. And being that it says in the Torah, V'lo yitamus machaneim, and that is the makar to this drash of Tei Machna Lazeh, Machna Lazeh, it's muchach, that whenever there was a Mishkan, there always had to be a Machna Leviyah as well. Because otherwise you wouldn't be able to satisfy the inyan of Tei Machna Lazeh, Machna Lazeh. So Rabbi said that if we have a Mesoira from the Holy Rashbi that says that there were only two machnas in Shiloh, we're trying to figure out which one of the machnas was and which wasn't there. There must have been a machna in Shechina, that's obvious, but there must have been a machna Levi as well, because otherwise it would emerge that the Tomei Meis and the Zav in Shiloh are only being sent out of that same machna, and we know that the Zav and the Tomei Meis always have to have different machnas. There's an inyan of Tei Machnas Achlas Amalei Rava. So Rava told Rabba the obvious follow-up, right? We set it up in a way that we're walking right into Rava's kasha. Elamai machni Yisrael. You want to tell me, so which machna wasn't there? Machni Yisrael. Well, if that's the case, nimtzu zavim u'mitzayra imishtalchem l'mokem echad. Because the mitzayra, who has to be sent out of machni Yisrael, and the zav, who has to be sent out of machni Levi, but is allowed to be machni Yisrael, are going to end up being in the same place. Why? Because there is no machni Yisrael. Which means that the mitzayra just has to be sent out of, obviously, machna Shechina and machna Levia. The Zav has to be sent out of machna Shechina and machna Levia. Now, usually the Mitzvah also has to be sent out of machna Yisrael. But there is no machna Yisrael in Shiloh, which means they're going to end up being in the same place. Vatayra Amra, and the Torah says, now we could have said, the Torah says, V'loi Tamus Machaneh, but the Gemara says, I'll even tell you better, Badot Yeshev, there's even a separate Jerusha. In the Parashah Mitzvah, where it says, Shaliyeshev Tomei Acherimai, that he had to be by himself, and specifically his Shiloh Machna is unique to his form of Tomah. There's no other Tomei who has the same din that he should end up in the same place. So the Gemara says, really, what we're left with is which one of the machnas wasn't there, because there had to be a machna Shechina, because there was a Shechina. There had to be a machna Levia, because otherwise nimtzu zavin u'tmei meis mishtachim chutz l'machna achas. And there had to be a machna Yisrael, because otherwise nimtzu zavin u'mitzayra mishtachim l'machna mechad. Because of this, the Gemara says, you have to say that we misunderstood Rav Shimon bar Yochai. We have to revisit it with a whole new blick. Avad Rav Shimon bar Yochai held that when the other one in Shiloh, they had all three machnas. They had a machna Shechina, machna Levia, and a machna Yisrael. You elish they machnes. So what Rav Shimon bar Yochai mean when he said there were only two machnes? What he meant was liklita. He meant that as it relates to the laws of Ari Miklat. And this takes us to the second paragraph of Masechtas Mak. It's something that everybody knows. And that is a Ritzech B'Shogi had to run to the Ir Miklat. But in addition to running to one of the Ari Miklat, he also had an option to go to one of the Batei HaLevim, one of the Ari HaLevim. So the cities where the Levim lived served a dual purpose. They housed the Levim, obviously. But in addition to that, they were also a sanctuary. So it was an Ir Miklat for someone that was a Ritzech B'Shogi. What Rav Shimon bar Yochai was saying was that when the Yidden were in Shiloh, Machna Levia didn't serve as an Ir Miklat. And that's what he meant when he said, Lo'yhoyu elishnei machnas bavad. He didn't mean that there were only two machnas, there was no cheftz of a third machna. You had all three machnas. And with regards to, let's say, the Pesukim and Parashas Nasa that we mentioned a moment ago, Avadia had all the halachas. There's one component, one hat, that one of the machnas wear that it didn't wear when the other were in Shiloh, which machna Levia, which hat? The fact that it has the ability to be koilet. Says the Gemara, Michlal, well, one thing I would take out of this is the Bemidbar Havoi kolta machna Levia. Meaning it sounds like in Shiloh, there, machna Levia didn't have the ability to be koilet, but all other times, the place that the Levim were, the Machna Levia, had the ability to be Koilin, the Gemara says, in. Yes, that is in fact the case, Vatanya, and it's a Mefurisha Braisa. So this is a Vahatanya Benichusa, right? A Mefurisha Braisa that says then that when Yidden were in the Midbar, the Machna Levia had the ability to protect the person that was a Ritzech B'Shogeg. So Gemara is going to bring a short Braisa now with a lot of drushes. It's very short, it's only five lines, and it's not hard. But it's a little bit dense, and it's all based on one pasuk. It says, this is a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. More people know this pasuk because it says, but the end of the pasuk is, Vasamti lachamakim, with that Rashi, Ashayonus Shama, says the Gemara, Vasamti lachamakim, Bichayecha. The way we dash in this pasuk is, Kilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to Moshe, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, and Eibush told Moshe, Vasamti lachamakim, meaning you yourself are going to have a place to run in the event that you killed somebody, which was HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe that you should know, b'chayecha, during your lifetime, there's going to be that makom. Additionally, l'cham makom me'kaimcha means that the place that people will be able to run, to be protected if they kill b'shoigig, will be your place. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Levi, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu lived in Machna Levia, and we learned from there that Machna Levia had the ability to be koilet. Next line is the punchline that we need. Ashe Yonus Shama. From there we learn Malamich and Maglin Bimidbar. That this took place even in the Midbar, and Lehechen Goylem, where? Lemachna Leviyah, to Machna Leviyah. Meaning, without Asher Yonah Shama, there would be Mokim to say that this would happen during Moshe Rabbeinu's lifetime. It would be already Halavim, but maybe only in Eretz Yisrael. During Moshe's lifetime, they're not going to cross the Yarden, and they're going to end up in Eretz Yisrael, which is, of course, not what happened. But the bottom line is, there could have been such a Havamina. But from the words, Asher Yonah Shama, we learn that, Mamish, right here, you'll be able to run, and Milamich and Maglin the Midbar Heichen Goylin, and again, where it's Lechamakim, it's your place. It's going to end up being in the place that the Leviim live. We can't remember from here. We learn Ben Levi Shaharag, a Ben Levi that kills Goylin Miplach Leplach. He has to be Goyla. Miplach leplach. Now, where do you see that? Mikan amru. So Rashi mutches with this a little bit. So Rashi says that there's another drasha that's happening over here, and that is v'samti lecha mokay, that even you have to be goyla, even somebody like yourself who's a Levi would have to go to Golus, which l'chayr was included in v'samti lecha mokim, that first drasha, b'chayachem. So that's the taitcha, the drasha, that even you yourself would have to go Golus. V'im gola lepilchay. Additionally, we see from here that let's say the Levi killed somebody, and he lives obviously in the Ari Alevim, and he says, you know what, instead of me going to a whole nother plach, I'm going to go to a whole nother zip code, let me, I don't know, buy a different house within my plach. If he does that, Pilchai Koltai, that works. How do you know that? Mikro Amr Avacha Breda Ravika Ki Be'ir Miklata Yeshev Ir Shekolta Sekvar. That even though you've already been living in this Ir Miklat, it's your Ir Miklat, meaning I'm a Baal Bas here, I'm domiciled here, I pay taxes here. Afilu Hachi, that would be a place that you would be able to go. And Rashi says that the biggest riot to that is the Midbar. Because if we're saying that there was really an Ir Miklat in the Midbar, and the Ir Miklat in the Midbar would be the Machna Leviyah, it was all one chefts of Machna Leviyah. So if someone that's a Levi kills somebody, B'shoigig, and he's going to run, he's not going to a different plach. There is no different plach. So obviously it's going to be all within the same plach. The bottom line is, we're not learning the sugis now, Ritzech B'shoigig. Again, it's a little bit of a nuanced braisa, but we just wanted one thing in V'hotanya, and that is what? That when the Yidu in the Midbar, Machna Leviyah was koilet, and that's where Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was coming to be mechadish in his braisa that ubeshiloi lo yhoyu elosh ne machnes bilad. He meant regarding that inyan, that machna leviyah, when they were in the midbar, all the other places always had the ability to be koilet. That was only then, but when they were in shiloi, not obetzizogin, that in shiloi, all you had was two machnes. That, of course, is not going to be the case. Now, the truth is, if you think about Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's braisa, it's a geshmaka braisa, right? We know that Klais was made up of three machnas. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai said there's a concept of a fourth machna and there's a concept of only two machnas. Obviously, you have to read the fine print and see what that means. The fourth machna would be the Chil and the Ezra's Noshim when the Yidden were in Yerushalayim and the Harabayis, and the concept of two machnas is Negeya, Perak Elohe Nagoylin, the second Perak Masachtas Machis. It's Negeya, the halachis that the Ori Alevim had the ability to be Goylet in Shiloh. Either way, moving along. Ba'u Le Gilgal. So, just to set up the remainder of today's daf, and it's also the first part of tomorrow's daf, the Gemara now is going to bring a brisa that's going to discuss one of the core topics of Perek Paras Chatas, which is the laws of Bamos, and it's going to focus on two very fundamental ideas. So these are not, if someone is mefagel b'shashchita and he had one foot in dirt. No, these are very, very, very fundamental ideas. Number one, bizman heter bamos, during those tkufas, what type of carbon was a person allowed to be makriv on a bam? Sounds like a good question. Oila shlamim, chatas, asher. What kind of carbonis was a person allowed to bring on a bam? Question number two. Bizman heter bamos, was the Mishkan different than it was bizman iser bamos, or was it not different? Meaning, you would think that the heter bamos is a toitsa of something being different about the Mishkan. We spoke about this during the Archikala, Barichas, in the Churvashul and in Shiloh, right? This was one of the themes. That the Heter Bamas is a result of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have his bias, and therefore, if you want to bring a carbon outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bias, it's not really chutz, because chutz implies that there's a pnim. If there's no proper pnim, then the Mela, there's not going to be an idea of a chutz either. Which means that during all the tkufas that there was a heter bamis, and by the way, Gilgal, Noiv and Givai, so during those tkufas, the suggestion seems to be that the Mishkan was an under-assert Mishkan. And if that's the case, Yesh Lachgar, Yesh La'ayin, were the dinim of what you could even bring in the Mishkan different than when there was a Mishkan in the Midbar, or where there was Mishkan Shiloh, and of course, during Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. So two questions. Number one, what karbanos were able to be brought on a Bamas Yachid? Question number two, Bizman Heter Bamas, what karbanos were able to be brought even on what's known as the Bamas Tzibur, even what was brought in the Mizbeach. Either way, these are the two questions that are going to be discussed. We're going to mention a bunch of different Shita Satanam, and the Gemara is going to do, we're going to follow the lead of the Gemara, what it always does when it goes through a Braisa, and that is first you bring the Braisa, you're not supposed to understand the Braisa 100%, and then the Gemara is going to fire away with Amar Maris. So we'll see some of the Amar Maris at the end of today's daf. The Gemara is going to go back and analyze the Braisa, and then the rest of the Amar Maris, Be'ezer Hashem, we'll see tomorrow. Either way, Zok the Gemara, Bo the Gilgal. Rabbanon, here's the price. So it's going to take us all the way to Amid Beis. Kol nidav and nidav hayakar bebama. Any carbon that could be brought by neder or nidava was able to be brought on a bamas yachsh. Any nidav and nidav. Any carbon that can't be brought by neder and nidava, any carbon bebama was not able to be brought on a bama. Mincha v'nezirus, as it relates to a carbon mincha, albeit a minchas nidava, right? A mincha that's being brought by nidava. V'nezirus, all the carbonis that the nazir used to bring, craven b'bama, were able to be brought on a bama. Divi rameir, azoi halt rameir. So rameir holds that you want to know the rule of what kind of carbon you're allowed to bring on a bama. Asyachid, it's any carbon that's brought by nedav and nidava. So what's brought by nedav and nidava? So the two big ones are the oila and the shlangen. Additionally, Rameir throws in the mincha and the naziris. Now, why did he throw in the mincha and the naziris? It's because the chachamim are about to argue. The chachamim held like karvu yachid ela oilas v'shlamen b'lvat. The chachamim agree with the premise of Rameir that it was dafka karbonis that were brought b'nedav and adava that you were allowed to bring on a bamas yachid. However, the chachamim added to that and they said that it's dafka the oila and the shlamen. As opposed to what? As opposed to the mincha, even a minchas nedava, and as opposed to the nazirus, what's the hezber and the machlokes remain the chachamim? That's going to be the first amar mar. It's going to be the gemara's first deep dive into this brisa. Next part of the brisa, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Kol shat tzibur v'hayachid makriven ba'oil moyed shebemidbar." Any carbon that the tzibur or the yachid was allowed to bring in the oil moed in the midbar, meaning on the regular mizbeach when the yidden were in the midbar, makriven ba'oil moed shebe gilgal, they were allowed to bring in the oil moed shebe gilgal. So Rabbi Yehuda says that as it relates to the oil moed of Gilgal, so as it relates to the mizbeach at the time of heter bamos, you were allowed to bring whatever you were ever allowed to bring in the oil moed. Kol shat tzibur v'ayochid makriven ba'oil moed shebe midbar, which was during the zman iser bamos, makriven ba'oil moed shebe gilgal, during the zman heter bamos. Ma bein oil moed shebe midbar l'bein oil moed shebe gilgal. What then is the difference? Meaning, was there any difference between oil moed shebe midbar, oil moed shebe gilgal, oil moed shebe midbar l'hei bamos mutaris? Yeah, when there was an oil moed in the midbar, the bamos were a mutar. Oil moed shebe gilgal, hayu a bamos mutaris. Meaning, there's no nafkemina be'etzem mitzad de shulchan aruch of the etzem oil moed. The only nafkemina is, did it beget an iser bamos, or did it not beget an iser bamos? Now, when the oil moed was in the Gilgal, Rabbi Yehuda continues and he says, "Ubamasay shebereish gagai." If a person had a bama, we always say in his backyard, "Bereish gagai." But the gag, if you remember from Masech Tzeirvin, was the proverbial backyard. So as it relates to B'masai Sheberosh Gagalei HaYomakiv Aleh Ela Oyla V'Shlamim, the only karbonis that you were allowed to bring were the karbonis Oyla and Shlamim, which is the Shita of the Chachamim, who are Chaylik with Rameir as well. Now one point that's going to be a little bit more manifest in tomorrow's Aparashi makes a big deal about it over here, so it probably means we're supposed to speak it out over here, and that is, if you follow the flow of the Braisa, a little bit, the first part of the Braisa wasn't talking to the second part of the Braisa, because we gave a Hakdama, so we set it up a little bit for it to flow. The Braisa is talking about two different things. It's talking about what karbonis you're allowed to bring on the Bamas Yachin, and then it's talking about what karbonis you're allowed to bring on the Mizbeach, on the Bamas Sibur, Bizman, the Heter Bamas, right? But just the flow. Remeir says you could bring an Oyla, a Shlamim, a Minchan, and a Zirus on the Bamas Yachin. The Chachamim say only an oil and shlamim. Rabbi Yehuda says that any carbon that the tzibur or the yachid were able to bring on the oil moed shev midbar, they were also allowed to bring on the oil moed shev gilgal. Oil moed shev gilgal man de chashmei. Nobody said anything about that. The machloikis Rameir and the Chachamim is very specifically with regards to the bamas yachid. Nobody said a word about the oil moed shev gilgal that it would be socially appropriate for Rabbi Yehuda to say, oh, by the way, as it relates to, nobody said a word about that. It almost doesn't have a pshat. So Rashi says, it's muchach from here, that Rabbi Yehuda understood in the sheet of Rameir and in the sheet of the Chachamim that when they were saying their halacha, they weren't just saying a halacha with regards to the Bamas Yach, they were also saying a halacha with regards to the Bamas Sibur. And when Rameir says, kol nidev in nidev, you ready for this? He doesn't only mean Bamas Yachid. His Ikar Halacha was Bamas Yachid. But Rabbi Yehuda Fashtanin, that he also means Bamas Sibur. He also means the Mizbeach Shebegilgal. Which means Rameir really said two things. He said that a Yachid that wanted to bring a carbon could only bring a carbon B'nedav and Adava. That's it. Hard stop. That's the only thing he's allowed to bring. On a Bamas Yachid, because on a Bamas Yachid, you could only bring a carbon that's Baba Nedav and Adava. And even on the Bamas Sibur, on that Saira Meir and Saira Chachamim seem to be saying, because the whole Machloikis is only with regards to Mincha ben Ziris. Zok Rabbi Yehuda, whoa, you're taking a little bit too far. I agree as it relates to the Bamas Yachid, like the Chacham, that you're only allowed to bring a carbon that's Baba Nedav and Adava. And by the way, I don't even think you could bring a Mincha and a Ziris. But as it relates to the Bamas Sibur, the Andere Bama, the Mizbeach, the Oil Mayed Shebe Gilgal, that already I think is different than any carbon that you were allowed to bring in the Oil Mayed. In the Midbar, you would be allowed to bring the Oil Mayed in Gilgal. And being that a Yachid was allowed to bring a carbon Chayva in the Oil Mayed in Midbar, so too a Yachid would be allowed to bring a carbon Chayva in the Oil Mayed in Gilgal as well. So really, Rabbi Yehuda is very much talking to Rameir and the Chacham. Again, something that's going to play itself out more in tomorrow's daf. Either way, so that was the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, the third Tana, that's mentioned here in this braisa, says kol shat tzibur v'hayochid makrivim ba'oyol moyed shebe midbar makrivim ba'oyol moyed shebe gilgal. As it relates to the bamas yachid, he holds like the chachamim are now commenting on Rabbi Yehuda. So the first chachamim were commenting on Rameir, this chachamim is commenting on Rabbi Yehuda. Kol shat tzibur makrivim ba'oyol moyed shebe midbar makrivim ba'oyol moyed shebe gilgal. Anything that the tzibur was allowed to bring in the oil moyed shebe midbar, the tzibur can bring in the oil moyed shebe gilgal. Aber v'kan. However, as it relates to when the Yidden were in the Gilgal, sai bamas tzibur and sai bamas yachid, like karvu yachid ela oila v'shlamin bavad, they were only allowed to bring the oila and the shlamin. In other words, what are the chachamim saying? And we'll see it better in the Gemara. We're just going through the braisa high level now. But what the chachamim are saying is that I disagree with you, Rabbi Yehuda. You're saying that the yachid was allowed to bring any carbon that he wanted in the oil moyed shebe gilgal. I don't think that's true. I think just like on the bamas yachid, he was only allowed to bring the oila and the shlamin. So too, as it relates to the bamas sibur, is also only allowed to bring the oila and the shlamin. At first glance, it would seem that this shita sachachamim is the identical shita of the previous shita sachacham, right? The way we explain the original Shitas Rameir and the Chacham, that they weren't only talking about the Bamas Yachid, but they were talking about the Bamas Sibur as well, and they're saying that a Yachid can't bring a carbon Chayva, not on the Bamas Yachid, not on the Bamas Sibur. All they're arguing about is on the Bamas Yachin and Bamas Sibur, where they could bring a carbon that's Baba Nedav and Nedava. Does it include the Mincha and the Naziris? It does not include the Mincha and the Naziris. That is Mamash this Shita Sachachot. Kol Shat Sibur, Makriven Boyo Moich of the Midbar, Makriven Boyo Moich of the Gilgal, Abevakan Vakan Zakrashi, Bamas Sibur, Ubamas Yachid, like Karvu Yachid, Allah Oil of Shalom Lava. It's Mamash the Shita Sachachachamim. That's why if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Ulukaman Parach, Hainu Tanakamo, Dachachamim Delil, Nami Hachiyami. Rashi already foreshadows the Gemara's Kasha, but the Gemara, when it goes through this price, is going to ask this very question. Either way, one last sheet in the Brisa, Reb Shimon says, "Av tzibur lo yakrivu." Even the tzibur were not makriv when the Yidden were in Gilgal. El psachin vechayvoy shekavu lehem zman. They were allowed to bring the carbon Pesach and different chayvoys that were kavu lehem zman, such as the carbon tamid, ayilas habayker, right, and the tamid shel beinu arbayim. But something that was not kavu zman, not. So what's an example of something that's not kavu zman? That's a carbon tzibur, like the parhel and davashel tzibur, right? That's a perfect example. It's a carbon tzibur, but at the same time, it's not mesuyim to any zman. It's not a mitzvah esa shazman girom. Either way, that is the last shita. That's the shita of Shimon. So again, so we have a noisy over here in the Braisa, which will precap Ezer Hashem in tomorrow's daf, because it's going to segue very much into tomorrow's daf, with regards to two discussions. Number one, what kind of karbanos were able to be brought on the Bamos Yachid? Number two, Bizman Heter Bamos, what kind of karbanos were able to be brought on the Mizbeach in the Oyel Moed? Either way, taking it from the top, what was the first machlokes? That's what we're going to focus on now. Till the bottom of the yom. First machlokes was, machlokes remained the Chacham. That's Poshet. That on a Bamos Yachid, the Yachid was allowed to bring a carbon, but only a carbon that was brought b'nedav b'nedava. What's a carbon that's brought b'nedav b'nedava? The two classics are the Oila and the Shlong. Ramban the Chachamim argued, what about a Mincha that could also be brought b'nedava, the Minchas Nedava, or the Naziris? According to Rameir, they're included. And according to the Chachamim, they're not included. And really, what we need to figure out is two things. Number one, we have to figure out what is the makar even to this whole halacha in the first place. Like, what's pasha pshat in this halacha? Why would it be that only a karma that's brought up in Nedav and Nedava can be brought on a Bamas Yachin? Right, that's the first thing we have to figure out. And number two, what is the hesber in this machloikis between Rameir and the Chachamim? So Zok the Gemara, my time of the Rameir. And again, my time of the Rameir means two things. It means, number one, what's pshat in this Ikar Halacha? Additionally, why are we including Mincha? Why are we including Naziris? So the Gemara says, the Amakra, it's based on the following pasuk. It says, Lois Sasun, Kechol Asher Anachnu Oysen Poi Hayoy, Ish Kol Hayoshar Be'enam. Now, this is one of the many psukim that are mentioned in Parashas Re'eh that are mentioned in the context of the halachos of Bamos. And Chazal understood what this pasuk is coming to say is that even when there's going to be a Zman Heter Bamos, and you're going to be allowed to bring Karbonos outside of the Makom HaMikdash, you're not going to be bound by Vayikra Perek Yud Zayin. You're not going to be bound by Perek HaShoichet VaMayil and Perek Paras Chattas. But at the same time, it doesn't mean you could stop bringing a carbon tumit every day. It doesn't mean you could start bringing any carbon you want. Rather, Ish Kol HaYosha Be'enav. The only carbon you can bring is a carbon that's Asher Yosha Be'enav. What does it mean? Kol HaYosha Be'enav. Something that if a person is Yosha Be'enav, he says, I want to bring a neder, I want to bring a nedava, I have this hergish that I want to bring a carbon. That type of carbon is the carbon you can bring. So again, critical. By the way, this is the Pshut HaShem Mikra of the Pasuk. You can't just go ahead and bring any carbon you want. Rather, Ish Kol HaYosha Be'enav. So says the Gemara, this is the Makar to Rameyer. That being that it says in the Torah, was telling Klal Yisrael, okay, Bisul Eretz, when you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and there's going to be a Zman Heter Bamos, don't think you're going to be able to bring a parhalim dover shal tzibur. I don't know. You're not going to be able to bring any carbon you want, but rather yisharos takrivu nedav and nedava chayves lo sakrivu. But as it relates to karbonos chayve, that you're not going to be allowed to bring. Now, why does Rameyah hold also menachas and naziris? Because menachas and naziris yisharos nino. Those are yisharos, right? A minchas nedava is a nedava, even in naziris. Ish ki yidar neder nazal hazal Hashem. Right, the spitz naziris is a dover that comes from a nidvas halev. Sina Dharm Daf Tesom Beis, Maisa Vishim and Atzadik, right? We know that. Naziris is a form of Neder. And as a result, being that it's something that's brought, B'Neder V'Nadav, you don't have to be a Nazir. If you want to be a Nazir, you're a Nazir. It's a quintessential example of a thing that's Bob B'Neder V'Nadav. It's included in the Inyan of Ish kol ayosha be'enav, it's yeshara isninu, and it's for that reason it's klun in salach rabbanon. The rabbanon agree with taichin the pasuk. They agree leisas chalash anachnu isbayam, you can't bring any carbon, but rather only yesharis. Stating that they hold ein mincha bebama. As relates to mincha, ein mincha bebama. Why? So we went through this already in some of the earlier sugyas. That's learned out from a lima that you are not allowed to bring a mincha. So even though it's true, mincha really should be yesharis. They have no reason to assume that it's not yesharis. Up ein mincha bebama is ein mincha bebama. And as it relates to Naziris, the Karbonos Naziris are a Chayva. That says, the Cheftza of the Naziris is Yesharis. But the Karbonos are Chayvas. When a Nazir becomes a Nazir, what he's doing is, he's taking upon himself a Nedav and a Dava. But once he becomes a Nazir, now the Torah obligates him to go ahead and bring karbanos. The karbanos themselves are viewed not as yesharis; they're viewed rather as chayvus. Zok tegemar amrashmol a geshmaka addendum to this. Machloikis bechatas va'asham. The machloikis between Ramei and the Chachamim with regards to nazirus is negeya the chatas and the asham that the nazir would bring. Now we know if the chazar all the kachim of the Nazir. But we know every single Nazir used to bring a carbon chatas. Additionally, every Nazir Tameh used to bring an asham. So Shmuel said that the whole shaila of whether or not the Karbanos Nazir were brought on a bama is negay the chatas and the asham. Because being that the chatas and the asham themselves are Karbanos that are not brought b'ned b'nedava, even though they're coming from something that's b'cheftza ned b'nedava, afilu achi, the chacham emol, you won't be able to bring. The mayor says, no, it's Yesharis Ninu, because it traces itself back to a Nidvas Halev. Avo ba'ilus v'shlamim, as it relates to the ilus and the shlamim, that the Nazir sometimes would have to bring, side the Nazir Tami, side the Nazir Tar, tibayakol Yesharis Ninu, that everybody agrees is Yesharis v'karvi, and you'd be able to bring. It's a shmul, with a very nice addendum to the Braisa said that the whole machlokes is only regarding the karbanos nazir that are not bab and nedav and adavar. The karbanos nazir, bab and nedav and adavar are certainly going to be included. Oisiv Rabba, Rab asked the kasha from a braiso, chazo v'shoik v'chumas lachmi toido noyegim bebama gedoylov ein noyegim bebama ktan. So the chazo v'shoik. So what's the chazo v'shoik? That was a part of the carbon shlomim that required tenufa. V'chumas lachmi toido. The truma component of the lachmi toido. So there were 40 lachmi toido, but you had to give 10% truma. So the truma is lachmi toido, which also required tenufa. Noyagim bebama gedoyla. Its tenufa was done bebama gedoyla. They noyagim bebama ktamna. It wasn't done bebama ktam. Essentially, what this price is saying is that tenufa was only done on a bebama gedoyla, right? It was done in the oil moed, obviously, and even in Gilgal Neve Givan, when the Mizbeach was proverbial bebama gedoyla, there was a halacha of tenufa, but on the bama ketana, there was no halacha of tenufa. So Rabbi made a geshmak adik. It sounds like the Brice is coming to tell us that all the times that you find in the Torah, there's a mitzvah of tenufa by a carbon, you should know it was not noig by bama ketana. And what were the examples? Where do you have tenufa by a carbon? Oh, I have the chaz of a shoik, and I have trumas lach mitoida. I have another one, tiny drabba. What happened to the Zraya b'sheva, which is a chelik of the shalmei nazir that also required tenufa? It doesn't say that. Vilu azraya b'sheva shaira. Says, look, Rabbi Fest, Bishlam, if you're going to tell me that the machlik is remained the chachamim is even regarding the oil and the shlamim, Hamani Rabbanani. I'll tell you why it didn't say this, Rabbi Bishayla. You know why? Because on a Bamas Yachid, there is no Naziris at all. So you, I have to tell you that you should know that the din tenufa wasn't like the whole chefs of the carbon is then on arrival wasn't there. Eli, Amr Bechatis Vashem Pligi. But if you're going to tell me that even the chachamim amoida, that the oil and the shlamim of the Naziris, specifically the shlamim of the Naziris, was brought even on the bama, it was only the chatas vashem that was not hamani. So why then did the brisa omit the zraya b'sheila from the shalmei nazir? Ella, because it is rabbi said he itmar hachi itmar. If sadah mesayir from Shmuel, that Shmuel made a qualification. They didn't say that Ramei the Chachamim argued by all the karbanis nazir, but some yes, some not. You would have to tweak it a little bit differently. Amr Shmuel said as follows: Machloikis by the v'shlamim. The machloikis since fakir dafka by the oil of v'shlamim. Aval the chatas vashem divrei kol chayvus in v'lei karvi. But as it relates to the chatas vashem, they're the opposite. Everybody holds it's not karev. The whole machloikis is dafka with regards to the oil and the shlamim. But the bottom line is a shitas chachamim that holds that there was no shalmei nazir. Oh, if there's no shalmei nazir, that's the town of that Breisner, who when he listed the examples of Tnufa that was not Noyig, but Bamas Yochri did not list the Zerai B'Sheila. And the reason is because it's a moot point. Because if there was no Shalmi Nazar, then obviously there was no Tnufa there with the Zeraya B'Sheila either exhale. So as it relates to Raid, going back to the beginning of the daf, the very beginning of the daf, like the first words of the daf, the Mishnah had said, Kochim Kalim, Necholim, Bechol, Machne Yisrael. It's referring to the time that the Yidden had a Mishkan in the Midbar, and the Kochim Kalim had to be eaten, Dafka, B'Machne Yisrael. The Gemara brought a comment that Rav Huna made. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, what does it mean, Bechol, Machne Yisrael? It means, Bechol, Mekoymos Yisrael. It means Bechol Mekoymos Yisrael. Now the Gemara says that Rav Nachman heard what Rav Huna said, and he understood that what Rav Huna was trying to say was that although the Mishnah says Machne Yisrael, the Mishnah doesn't really mean Machne Yisrael. Rather, what the Mishnah means is anywhere that there's Yidden. And his interpretation of that was probably because Rav Huna holds there's no such thing as Machne Yisrael. And if there's no such thing as Machne Yisrael, then Machne Yisrael can't be Machne Yisrael. So what then does it mean? What it means is Bechol Mekoymos Yisrael. And on that, he asked the Kasha. He says, how could you tell me that there's no such thing as a Machne Yisrael? V'atanyo, k'shem sh'machnem, b'bidbar kach machnem v'Yerushalayim. You see clearly that there were the three Machnes in Yerushalayim, if I care, they mirrored the three Machnes in the Midbar. So for sure there was a Machne Yisrael when they were in the Midbar. Ella, the Gemara said, Eimo, you have to say that what Rav Huna meant was something else. Not Bechol Mekoymos Yisrael, because there was no such thing as Machne Yisrael, but Bechol Mokoy Machne Yisrael. He was coming the rabbis that as long as it's a Machne Yisrael, even Bechol Mokoy, what's it coming to be Marba? Let's say Machne Yisrael moved, there would have been a Havamina, maybe there should be a Psol Yoitze, it's such a good Havamina, the Gemara even asked for Ema Hachinami, but the bottom line is what Rav Huna was coming to be Mechadish was that as long as it's being eaten in Machne Yisrael, even if it's not in the same Machne Yisrael, that in and of itself would be okay. The truth is, if you think about the Havamina of the Gemara's understanding in Rav Huna, it's a Pel de Havamina, right? Rav Nachman hears Rav Huna say, Bechol Mekoymos Yisrael. And he interprets that what Rav Huna is trying to say is there's no such thing as Machne Yisrael. Said, how could that be? I have a Mefurish Braisa that says that there is such a thing as Machne Yisrael. If you think about it, it's Peledig that Rav Nachman could have even thought that Rav Huna meant that. Why? First of all, we have to have a conversation if there was a Machne Yisrael, there was no Machne Yisrael. Everyone knows there was a Machne Yisrael. Besides, how could the words Bechol Machne Yisrael not mean Bechol Machne Yisrael and instead mean Bechol Mekoymos Yisrael? Just in Taicha the Mishnah, it's very, very dachuk. It's very, very dachuk. So you tell me, Rav Huna felt that he had no choice to learn it that way because he held there was no such thing as Machne Yisrael. But then why did the Mishnah say Machne Yisrael? Mishnah should have said Bechol Mekoymos Yisrael. But even more, this is more subtle, but I think this is the punchline of the kashas. And that is, if the halacha is that there was no such thing as Machne Yisrael, and as a result, you were allowed to eat Kachem Kalim anywhere there's a Jew, so then just say Bechol Mekoymos. Meaning, if you're there, then by definition, there's a Jew there, because who else is eating it? So why are we even saying Bechol Mekoymos Yisrael? Just say Bechol Mokoym. Bechol Mekoymos. By the way, go back to the Mishnah. There's certain times where the halach was, you can eat it Bechol Mokoym. Because Bechol Mokoym is the same as name, Bechol Mekoymos Yisrael. So why would the Mishnah even say Bechol Mekoymos Yisrael? Just say Bechol Mokoym. And really, at first glance, these first few lines Gemara that we, you know, glossed over, we made it look all perfect when we went through it, really, if you think about it, is Einoy Oymer Elo Darsheni. So I found a Mara Mokoym Nifla. And I found this in the Sefer Mishmar Alevi from Hagoyin, Rav Moshe Mordechai Schulzinger. And it's in Madura Kama. There's two Maduras. The very, very end of a sefer, obviously, we're holding at the end of Masechtas Vachim, he has several simonim on this inya. It starts with Kuf Samach Aleph, Kuf Samach Beis, Kuf Samach Gimel, Kuf Samach Dalet, Kuf Samach Hei, Kuf Samach Vav. It's pages of Rei. And it's all based on a Torah from the Rogach of a guy. That's in Tzofnes Paneach, it's in Parshas Nasai, and I think it requires a little bit of an introduction. And this introduction is Mamish Yesoide. So, The topic of the first part of the daf was the idea that when the Yid were in the Midbar, there were three machnas. There was machna Shechina, there was machna Leviyah, and there was machna Yisrael. So what exactly were the three machnas? Again, when we went through the daf, we talked a little bit about it. Rashi in Parshas Nasai, and this Rashi is in Perikei, it's Pasuk Beis, a Pasuk that featured prominently in today's daf. Tzavis b'nei Yisrael v'yishalchu min ha-machane, kol tzeruah v'chol zav v'chol tomei l'nafesh. Zok Rashi, sholish machnes hoyu sham b'shas chani yasam. When the Yidu were in the Midbar, there were three machnes. Toicha kloim, anything inside the curtains, anything inside the proverbial loyal moyer azara, hi machne shechina. Chaniyas ha-Leviyim, Saviv, the area that the Leviyim were encamped, which was surrounding that area, Kamesha Mefurish, Parashas, Midbar Sinai, he machna Leviyah. That was machna Leviyah. Umisham va'atsayf machne had golem. And from there until the end of where the golem were, l'chol arba ruchos, to all four sides, he machna Yisrael, that was machna Yisrael. So machna Shechina we know, machna Leviyah is where the Leviyim live, that we know. What was machna Yisrael? Like, where did it start? Then where did it end? Zok Rashi, it started where Machna Leviyah ended, and it went at Soif Machane Hadgolim, until the end of the area where all the Dgolim were. Now, we're all familiar with the Dgolim. A Degel means a flag, right? High level, the Dgolim is the formation of how the Yidden encamped and how they traveled where they were in the Midbar. The Torah goes through it in very, very great detail in Parshas Bamidbar, right? It's one of the big topics of Parshas Bamidbar. It's something that was so nuanced. So, l'havdol alef alfei havdalos, if you see a melech basav adam and he has his army where you have soldiers that are literally walking and breathing in formation, that's exactly the way the Yidden were all the years that they were in the Midbar. In fact, all the Shvatim were divided into four Degalim, or also referred to as four Machnas, right? Degel Machne, it says in the Torah. There was what was known as Degel Machne Yehuda, Degel Machne Ruvein, Degel Machne Ephraim, and Degel Machne Dan. 12 Shvatim divided into four Degel Machnes, which means with three Shvatim per, everything was with a Cheshbin, and everything had to be exactly Punklach. But the bottom line is, that if you want to know what Machane Yisrael was when the Yid were in the Midbar, so it started from where the Leviyim lived, and it went all the way until Soif HaGdolim. Truth is, that Lashon, that Machane Yisrael goes at Soif HaGdolim, Rashi says over here in today's daf as well. Ayin Shom, in one of the long Rashis, Rashi says such a Nusach as well, that the Taich of Machane Yisrael was, it went at Soif HaGdolim. That's the first Hakdama. The second Hakdama is, we're all familiar with the Erev Rav. And by the way, if we're not all familiar with the Erev Rav, we could wait until next week's Parashah, Be'ezer Hashem and Chumash here, because the Erev Rav are introduced to us in Parashah's Boy. The Torah says, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael mei ramsei sukoysa, kisheish meyos elef ragli ha-gvar l'mamitav, 600,000 men, with the exception of the children, they left Ramses, right? That's Goshen, that's where the Yidden had been, and they all started traveling. V'gam Erev Rav olo itam, and the Erev Rav went along with them. V'tsoin u'bakar mikna kovamoy. So who were the Erev Rav, or better, who were the infamous Erev Rav? If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says Erev Rav, Taroivis u'moishal geir. They were a mixture of people that came from different nations that were geir. If you look at Ibn Ezra, Me'anche Mitzrayim. These were Egyptians, Shes Arvu Himoim, that intermingled together with the Jews. And that's who the Erev Rav were. The Erev Rav were Chevra that jumped on the bandwagon. They saw the Jews were winning, and they said, you know what? All of a sudden, I'm a fan. And I want to be a part of whatever it is you have. And obviously, after the Makkos, things are looking pretty good right now. They're borrowing money. The chain of the Yidden is very much be'enei hamitzrim, like the Pasuk says. And as a result, who doesn't want to be a follower, right? So the Erev Rav jumped on the bandwagon. They're called Erev, Miloshin, Taruvos. There was a lot of them. And the bottom line is, the Erev Rav are these Taruvos Umay Shalgeir. Now, it's interesting. The Erev Rav get another very prominent shout-out later in the Torah. And this is in Parshas Baal Loischa. In Parshas Baal Loischa, the Torah says, V'asafsuf asher bekirboy. There was a group of people known as the Asafsuf. They were amidst the Yidden. Hisavu Taiva. They had a Taiva. right? And they wanted different food. Vayashuvu, vayivku, they kicked Moshe and they cried. And the Pasuk says, Gam b'nei Yisrael, the b'nei Yisrael as well, vayemru, they said, mi achilenu basar? Who's going to give us a little bit of flesh? So who are the Asafs? Zokte, look at Rashi and Parshas Ba'al Yisro, and this Perkei Al Pasuk Dalet, Eilu, Eirev Rav, shenesfu aleyem, b'tseisam mi Mitzrayim. They had gathered together with the Yidin at the time that the Yidin left Mitzrayim. If you look again at Ibn Ezra, for Asafsov shenesfu el Yisrael ve'ina mehem ve'hem Erev Rav, and they are the Erev Rav. And truth is, you see it in the pasuk Mefurish, because the pasuk says va'asafsov asher bekir ba'yisavu tayve va'yeshuvu va'yifku, and then it says gam b'nei Yisrael. So what does it sound like? I don't know who the Asafsov are, but they're not the b'nei Yisrael, because we mention the Asafsov, and then we say, oh, in addition to the Asafsov, you have the gam b'nei Yisrael as well. So it's not only the Asafsov. It's the Asafsov plus it's the B'nai Yisrael. Truth is, the Erev Rav in Teresh Baal Peh get another shout out. It's a few psukim earlier. The pasuk says, "Vayehi amkim misoininim Rabba Oznei Hashem, vayishma Hashem, vayichar apoy, vativer bam esh Hashem, vatoichal b'ktzei amachna." Right? There were people that were complaining. The pasuk doesn't even say what they were complaining about. Pasha, they were just kvetchers. Vayhi amkim misoininim, very bad in the eyes of Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu heard, and Kadosh Baruch Hu got really angry, and Kadosh Baruch Hu made a fire happen, b'ktzei ha-machina. If you look again in Rashi, Rashi says, b'ktzei ha-machina, b'muktzin shebahem. B'ktzei means the muktzin, the people that were, right, cast away. L'shiflos, because they were nidirik, because they were lowly. And elu erev rav, it's referring to the erev rav. So the erev rav get mentioned so many different times, so many different ways. Who are the Erev Rav? The Erev Rav are not B'nei Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. The Erev Rav are not descendants of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar, Zvulun, etc., etc. The Erev Rav are people that came from the other Umayyads. They jumped on the bandwagon. They said, I want to come along. That is who the Erev Rav were. Now, if you look carefully at the Evan Ezra, again, we're not learning Chumash now, but if you look carefully at the Evan Ezra seems to say that these were Enim Yehudim that might have even remained Enim Yehudim, right? The Lashon of the Evan Ezra, by the Asafsof is Shenesfu El Yisrael, Ve'ina Mehem. It's not clear, right? The Pasuk, Va'asafsof Asher Bekir Ba'yisavu Taibu Va'yoshuvu Va'yivku, and also the B'nai Yisrael, right? At that point, B'nai Yisrael means Jews. So it sounds a little bit like they're not B'nai Yisrael. But Rashi's Mefurish not that way. Rashi says in Parshas Bo, Erev Rav, Taroyves Umois Sholgerim. Truth is another Rashi. This Rashi is very, very sharp. Rashi is in Parshas Kisisa. The Pasuk says, Vaidabar Shamal Moisha Lech Reid. Kishiches Amcha Asher Helesa Me Eretz Mitzrayim. So in Chumashir, last week, we talked a little bit about Lech Reid. Reid Migdulascha, Leinasati Lecha Gdula Ela B'Shvilam, right? The next Rashi, Kishiches Amcha, Zok Tehle Gerashi. Shiches Ha'am Loi Nema. It doesn't say Shiches Ha'am. Ela, what it says is Shiches Amcha. What's Shiches Amcha? It's referring to Erev Rav. Shekibalta Me'atzmecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, you on your own were Mekabel the Erev Rav. It's a very important Rashi. You have to notice Rashi. V'giyartem, and you were Megayer them, v'loi nemlachtabi. You never asked me if I thought it was an idea. V'amarta, you made a cheshbin toiv sheyidbeku gerim b'shchina, that it's good for these chevra to come and attach themselves to the shchina. Heim shichasu v'hishchisu. Backfired on you. And that's Kishiches Amcha, dein folk. Klai Yisrael's my am. The Erev Rav, the Gerim, that's your am. Nobody asked you to do it. Had you asked me, I'm not sure I would have told you this is a good idea. You made a cheshbon toiv shniyid b'ku Gerim b'shchina, heim shichasu v'hishchiso, hafle d'gerashi. But it's Rashi l'shitase, that the Erev Rav, and could be it's Pashat, were Gerim. Right? The Erev Rav were Gerim. Where did the Erev Rav live? So the Erev Rav are part of the equation, right? Erev Rav, Asafsov, where exactly did they live? So the Rogachov Goyin said, it's a Mefurish Sefri. The Sefri is in Parshas Baal Loischa. It's on the Parsha of the Misoininim that we mentioned a second ago, is referring to the Erev Rav. Now, really see, it's referring to the Erev Rav, because the pasuk says, "Vatoichal b'ktzei hamachane." It started by the ktzei hamachane, and Rashi brings Chazal, "Bamuktin shebehem l'shiflus and elu Erev Rav." The Sefri also says that the Mesoyim were the Erev Rav, and the Sefri also learns it from the fact that it says, "Vatoichal b'ktzei hamachane." But the Sefri, and this is a well-known Sefri, says it a little bit differently. Says the Sefri, "Yesh oimrim elu hagerim." It's referring to the Geirim. Who were the Geirim? They were the Erev Rav. Hanesunim b'ktzei hamachana. And where did they live? They lived by the ktzei hamachana. And being that they lived by the ktzei hamachana, so therefore when it says in the Torah, v'atoicha b'ktzei hamachana, you know what it's referring to? It's referring to the Erev Rav. Said the Rogach of a Goyen, that it's pasha to me. That when the Gemara said, Amar Rav Huna said, b'chol mekoyim es Yisrael. He said that when it says in the Mishnah, kachem kal nachol mechol machni Yisrael, it means b'chol mekoyim es Yisrael. Rav Huna didn't mean what everybody thinks he meant, and that is not machni Yisrael. It's really mekoyim es Yisrael. It can't be, because number one, that would be predicated on there being no such thing as a machni Yisrael. Rav Huna knows there's such a thing as a machni Yisrael. How could he not know that? Additionally, if the Mishnah wants to say Bechaymas Yisrael, then it should say Bechaymas Yisrael. It shouldn't say Machne Yisrael. And if Rav Huna means to say that Bechol Mekoymas Yisrael, wherever Jews are, then he should say Bechol Mokoym, because wherever you are, a Jew is there. So what's the slosh of Bechol Mekoymas Yisrael? So said the Rogachov of Kedarke Bakoydash with his Charifos. He said, Kochim Kalim was Necho Bechol Machni Yisrael. And Machni Yisrael was the place that the Yidden will live. But said the Rogachov of Yesh Lachkar, what about the Erev Rav? The Erev Rav who lived Biktzei Amachne, they didn't live together in the area that was at Soifat Golem, like Rashi says, which is the Taich of Machni Yisrael. So if that area where the Erev Rav have all that tents, it's an Erev Rav, it's a big chevra over there, are you allowed to eat Kachem Kalim, or you're not allowed to eat Kachem Kalim? When you learn the Mishnah says, Kachem Kalim Nacholim Bechol Machni Yisrael. It sounds like it has to be Machni Yisrael. And Rashi says in the Sugya, and Rashi says in Parashas Nosoi, what's the Taich of Machni Yisrael at Soifat Golem? So Sogat Aitach Amina Voltich Gevolt Meinen, that the Mokum of the Erev Rav is not included. On that, Amar Rav Huna, Zokt Rav Huna, that even though it says Bechol Machni Yisrael, but what it really means is Bechol Mekoymos Yisrael. What it means is not Machni Yisrael Lafuke where the Erev Rav lived. Abiyed the Platz, not that there is a Yid right now. For that you would say Bechol Mokum. But any place that there were Yidden that lived, even though it's not Machni Yisrael proper, that would be included. The Mishnah said Machni Yisrael because Merendach, it's Machni Yisrael. But you should know that the Taich of this Machni Yisrael is not limited to the textbook definition that Rashi quotes everywhere, and that is Atsoif Mokum Hadgolim. But rather, what it means is Bechol Mekoyim Yisrael, as if to say Machni Yisrael is not even so much Milosha Machne, it's Milosha Mokum Chaniyosan. All the entire area where the Yidden were encamped, the rabbis, even the makom of the Erev Rav, that's what Rav Huna was coming to say. Now, what was the Esfer of Nachman? So Rav Nachman didn't chap, that's what Rav Huna meant. So Ayin B'Mishmar Alevi has a whole arichas for that already, Ayin Shom, but either way, it's half of a fellow. The Taicha Machne Yisrael's Mavu and Rashi is at Soifat Golem. The Erev Rav lived B'Ktzei HaMachne, that means they didn't live in the area of the Golem. So Yesh Lachker, could you eat Kachim Kalim in that makom of the Erev Rav? Such a classic Rogachov Adiga Chakira. In that area, could you or not, said the Rogachova, that I believe that was the Havamin and the Gemara's understanding of Rav Huna. It was Dafke, that area that he was coming to be Marben Dosa Dagemein, that even though the Mishnah says Machni Yisrael, but really what it means is Bechol Mekoymos Yisrael. Just to end, in the long Arichas of Rav Schulzinger, I saw he brings that somebody once asked Marna Gris. He said he heard this Mipia Shmua, that somebody asked Marna Gris. He said, I understand, the Erev Rav Gerim. We have a mitzvah of Ahavtem Es Hager. How is it possible that the Yidden told the Gerim, you live B'Ktzei HaMachne? That's the antithesis of the attitude the Torah says we're supposed to have to the Gerim. Now the truth is, we know the Erev Rav were not good guys. They were troublemakers. First of all, does it mean every Erev Rav was a troublemaker? And besides, just because he's a troublemaker doesn't mean he's not a Ger. At the end of the day, what happened to the mitzvah of a Haftam Es Hager? And the Brisker Rav said, like only the Brisker Rav could say, he said, Foss, you think that the reason the Erev Rav were B'Ktzei HaMachne is because they were Shvelim and we didn't want to have anything to do with them? He said, the area that the Yidden had to live was very, very orchestrated. Like we mentioned earlier, it was nuanced to a science. I'm going to breathe here, and you're going to look here, and you're going to stand there, and you guys schluffen dorten. The Torah said exactly how the setup was. There was a Mishkan, and Saviv leMishkan Yachanu the Levian, and around that you had the Degomachne Yehuda, and the Degomachne Ruvain, and the Degomachne Don, and the Degomachne Ephraim. He said the Erev Rav were Gerim. They didn't come from Yehuda, they didn't come from Ruvain, they didn't come from Don, they didn't come from Ephraim. Memela, they had no Mokim in the Golem. If they had no Mokim in the Golem, Memela, they had to be B'Ktzei HaMachna. They weren't B'Ktzei HaMachna because they were being cast away. They were B'Ktzei HaMachna Poshe because there was nowhere else for them to be. Either way, this is the Charifos of the Ragachava, the Ru'uyin Hadvarim L'Misha Amram.